Okay, we are back. You are listening to Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. This morning we're going to look at the economy. With us on the line from his home in beautiful St. Simons Island, John McDivitt, former 3M corporate economist. And good morning, John.
Good morning, Dave, and good morning to Dalton.
Oh, it's great having you on the air, John.
It's good to be on the air with you, Dave.
Especially during these times of what seems to be turmoil to me. Let me just ask you to start off the economy, the way we see it today. How would you describe it? Are there areas out there that have surprised you?
Well, if you would have asked me that question on Thursday morning, I would have said they're a little gray and perhaps we'll be getting better. On Friday morning, it's looking a lot better, and you're going to say, well, why is that? Well, countrywide, the largest mortgage company in the U.S. was just granted a $12 billion in borrowing. That's B, billion, in borrowing, so it looks like they're able to work things out. And COM appears to be returning to the credit markets. So that is those are probably two good signs, giving us a better outlook rather than just looking at the meltdown of the subprime market that was slated to continue and continue and continue. Now it looks like there's going to be maybe the beginning of some closure, reason for some optimism.
So the fact that this mortgage company was given this loan, this has really changed things in a big way?
I think so. I think it really has. And since we're coming up on a long weekend and a religious holiday, there's probably going to be a little less pressure on the markets next week, and they're going into next week, I think, with some a pretty good feeling.
I see. Now, with this whole credit situation on the mend, was that the area that you were most concerned about and almost everybody is most concerned about at this point?
I think it was. You know, Dave, and to our listeners, there really, a couple months ago, 3-4 months ago, there really wasn't much of a problem on credit. The opposite, really, was liquidity. There seemed to be an awful lot of liquidity worldwide and here in the U.S., and you began to run out of buckets after a while to put all this liquidity in. You couldn't find enough places for it. And then suddenly we come along with the subprime meltdown affecting the U.S. economy, and suddenly this this credit dries up and you don't see much of it. And then all of a sudden somebody comes along and as I say, like countrywide mortgage, and they get their $12 billion in funding, and somebody says, hey, you know, things aren't that bad anymore. But you know, it wasn't too long ago we were looking for places to push all that money.
So going forward, and I realize this isn't going to be overnight, but what sort of changes do you expect to see as a result of this? Of this situation going forward,
well,
as a result of the loan,
forward, I think we're still going to have to keep our eye on consumer income and consumer spending. Just because there's one Friday morning of an improving picture, slightly improving picture, those consumers out there are still going to have to be looked at very, 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 very closely, and especially next Tuesday afternoon when the Federal Reserve releases its document stating what it will have done with interest rates. And, of course, everyone around the world, not just here on Wall Street or Main Street, but around the world are waiting for that word to come down from on high, that in effect there was this 50 basis point reduction in interest rates, to again add to the good news that we have on Friday, and to keep things going. So we've got to look carefully at a lot of things.
John, it's that time. We need to take a break here. John McDivitt's with us this morning. We're looking at the economy. John's a regular on this program. He's former 3M corporate economist, and we're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. John McDivitt's with us this morning, former 3M corporate economist. John, I didn't have a chance to ask you in the first segment. Your expectations are that we'll be seeing the Fed next Tuesday trim rates by 50 basis points?
Yes, Dave. And if it turns out that it's going to be larger than 50 basis points, then that tells us that that the economy is in a whole lot worse trouble than originally we thought. You know, we're only finding out about these jobs that declined by 4,000 when the market was expecting 120,000 jobs to be created. We're still trying to digest that. And if it turns out that there is larger than 50 basis point reduction, well, then that's telling us that there's some real dangers, clear and present danger for the economy, and the Federal Reserve is trying to preempt that by going with a larger cut in the discount rate. But at this point, probably 25 basis points, a quarter of a point cut just won't do it. Everyone is already built into their forecast, built into their models, built into their expectation that there is going to be this 50 basis point reduction.
That's sort of a change from the way Bernanke has operated in the past, isn't it?
Yes, totally, totally different. It's interesting that on Thursday afternoon, the Wall Street Journal reported that Alan Greenspan gave Bernanke praise that he's doing an excellent job in managing the economy. Now, this is coming from a person who was the chairman for many, many years at the Federal Reserve in Washington, congratulating Bernanke on doing an outstanding job. He's still got a long road ahead of him, but still, he's... He says it's contained, and Bernanke says it's contained to the subprime market. Again, these households that have had poor credit histories, they bought homes, even though they probably shouldn't have. But he's doing a good job, and let's hope that the good job and the grade that he gets from Alan Greenspan and the rest of the people continues in the future weeks and months.
I think it said in that piece in the Wall Street Journal something to the effect that Greenspan said he didn't see this problem coming with a subprime mortgage market until late 2005. Yet in late 2006, he thought that everything had we'd bottomed out in the housing market.
Yes, and that's one of the surprises that surprised me was this mortgage crisis, the subprime issue, and then, of course, leading to the job cuts. There was maybe it's one way of letting himself off of the hook, but I'd be the first one to say shame on us for not recognizing what was happening. Because back in December, there is a company, a mortgage company called OWNIT. It filed for bankruptcy, and then there was a Reese May who filed for bankruptcy in February. Novastar filed, and then Fremont and New Century stopped making loans. People's Choice in March stopped making loans, but filed for bankruptcy. that would fall on me too for not seeing this, for not looking and seeing what was happening in the marketplace. And again, it's all public information, what was going on in December, January, February, March, April of this year, and not recognizing that these mortgage companies were either A, filing for bankruptcy, or B, they were stopped making loans, and then ultimately filed for bankruptcy. So again, no, I don't think anyone saw it coming per se, but there was plenty of indications that something was happening in the marketplace. Just our failure to realize that.
Need to pause here, John, get some messages in. This morning we're talking with John McDivitt, former 3M corporate economist. We're going to be right back. Stand by. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. John McDivitt's on the line with us this morning, former 3M corporate economist. John, you were talking about the speed with which this whole credit situation really snuck up on us. I guess people didn't see it very much, like the hurricane in the Gulf. It seems like it snuck up on us, and even when it was occurring, people were not seeing it, evidently.
Yeah. When you went to bed, it was a tropical depression. When you were awakened at 2 a.m., it suddenly had converted itself from a tropical depression into a full-blown hurricane. So that, of course, is an issue that we had this and continue to have this mortgage crisis and this meltdown. And, of course, and every logically, the question is asked, do we see a recession? And it's hard to see a recession out there when this issue is confined and contained within the mortgage arena, because if you take a look around, we find a number of people looking at the global economy, looking at the world economy, where there is lots of demand for aluminum and copper and lead and steel and polyethylene resins and polypropylene resins. So we've got a number of industrial commodities that are growing in terms of demand, so it's hard to see a recession out there with these kinds of industrial raw materials and commodities being eagerly sought after.
Mm-hmm. John, we didn't really see or hear very much talk about recession until we saw the jobs report with a drop of 4,000. Isn't it possible that's just a flash in the pan, or do you think that's a trend we're going to be seeing, going forward?
I think it's a trend that we're going to be seeing, because it would have been different, and I would have answered this question differently had it just been 1 month of data that we saw the Commissioner of Labor Statistics on Friday, September the 7th, brought us that bad news of only a 4,000 job decline. But in the fine print, if one goes back to the June figure and the July figure, there was a reduction in the amount of jobs that were created. During the last 3 months, there was an average of only 44,000 jobs that were created. The average number of jobs that were created during the first 5 months of this year was 147,000 jobs per month. So when you go from creating 147,000 jobs per month to, in the last 3 months, only creating 44,000, and of that, the August number was down 4,000 jobs, we know that we have a trend going forward that's likely to remain less than 100,000 jobs created in our economy.
I got John. Is part of this some sort of a problem with the system? However, they collect these jobs numbers, it seems like from month to month, there's always bringing these things up to date, and there's very often fluctuations with the revisions. Is there a problem in the system someplace?
In one sense, right, Dave, we could be going through the fact that when we have a steady, stable economy, it's easy to track the important data indicators, the economic indicators, easy to track them. But then when we have this volatility that upsets the trend from 147,000 jobs a month to only 44, the mechanism can't self-correct that quickly. But I, having said that, back and I'll look on Wednesday, the 5th of September, last week, the National Employment Report of Automated Data Processing, ADP, came out with its estimate for the number of jobs that were created in August. And they said in that September 5 report that there was 38,000 jobs. Well, now, we remember that the forecast was for 120,000 jobs. And I remember hearing and remembering at the time, boy, are these guys off. I don't know where they're getting their numbers from, but they're sure wrong. And I dismissed it, waiting for September 7th. And of course, when September 7th came, it's not only did they not grow by 38,000, but they actually declined by 4,000 jobs. That was a real shocker.
John, we're running a little bit long here. I need to jump in here and take a short break. We're talking with John McDivitt, former 3M corporate economist. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. John McDivitt's with us this morning, former 3M corporate economist. John, we were talking about the jobs report when we had to take a short break, and I guess you were saying this was a real shocker.
I'm going to tell you, in September or October, the first week in October, when ADP issues its employment report, I'm going to be looking at it very, very closely for an early indication as to what happened with the creation of new jobs in the U.S. economy during the month of September. I'm going to be looking at it very, very closely.
Are you expecting declines in September?
No, I don't think there'll be any declines. There may be some declines in the manufacturing sector, but in effect, throughout the rest of the economy, I would think some of the self-correcting measures will be back in, and we should be looking for some slightly better growth in employment. We have, in effect, the retail sector, and I know we're going to be talking about retail trade. But the retail sector, in terms of jobs, they were up 12,000 jobs during the month of August, compared with the month of July. So retailing and the consumer, for the time being, are doing fairly well. It's the construction, residential construction, that's down about 18,000 people, and we've got to keep our eye on the ball, there. But with productivity going the way it's going, we can do very nicely in our economy. You know, we, during this last report that we've gotten, we've received from the Department of Labor, the productivity, that is, if you take economic output and you subtract the number of all the people at work, we had a positive 3% growth. And that's for an economy that's supposed to be as weak as ours is, and an employment arena that's as weak as it is, we're doing a very, very good job.
John, with the jobs decline by 4,000 during August, I know that some of the major retailers in the country reported their earnings, and they seem to be relatively good, well, quite good in some instances. Do those two figures run counter to each other?
No, I don't think they do, because during the month of August, department store employment was down almost 8,000 people. So, in effect, we had a fairly good back-to-school promotion, and usually a good back-to-school year and time leads to a very good Christmas selling season. That's been the old rule of thumb, and I have no reason to believe it's going to be any different this year. They've just done a better job at the general merchandise stores, department stores. They've done a better job of managing the headcount, of managing their costs, so that, as I say, they... A pretty good performance.
But I mean, people are spending, but yet there are fewer jobs. That wouldn't seem to be, you know, to be in sync.
Oh, but what you have though are some revisions coming, and that's what I expect to see on the first, at the end of the first week in October, some payroll growth. We just can't. This is unsustainable. 4,000 job decline when we've been accustomed to increasing 147,000 jobs. But again, the construction. We know next month that the construction employment is going to be still down. Matter of fact, there have been nearly 100,000 jobs in construction lost since September of employment losses in construction. And at the same time, average hourly earnings are rising by nearly 4%, 3.9%. So of those that are working, certainly have the income. But that's why I mentioned earlier, you're going to keep an eye out for income and consumer spending during the months and the weeks ahead.
John, we need to take a short break here. Need to get some messages in. This morning we're talking with John McDivitt, former 3M corporate economist. He's now in retirement down in St. Simons Island. We're going to pause here. We'll be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. John McDivitt's with us this morning, former 3M corporate economist. Let me ask you about the housing sector, John. Have we hit bottom yet? We've seen record foreclosures out there. There's lots of inventory.
Yeah, unfortunately, we haven't, Dave. If we take a look at existing home sales, and this is the last report that the National Association of Realtors issued, it's going to be down about 8.6% from 2006 to 2007. It's still a huge inventory of unsold homes. Credit, of course, is a lot tighter for those mortgages. So people are simply postponing buying a home, and the picture, of course, is not a pretty one. It's going to be very interesting next week. The Joint Economic Committee in Washington is going to be having a meeting and a hearing on it's called the evolution of an economic crisis. But here's the tip-off. When they sent this memo out, the evolution of an economic crisis has a question mark at the end. So perhaps by next Wednesday, it won't be as much of a crisis as it were if it would have been held Wednesday of this week. But we can't go away from the fact that there's 2 million homeowners are expected to face foreclosure in the next year and a half. The National Association of Realtors is saying that there's really no recovery in the housing market until 2008. And if you look at the forecasts that were made by the National Association of Home Builders, they're not expecting recovery until about 2010 or 2011. So we've still got a long road to go. Yes. We may be seeing something a little bit brighter, but at the same time, we're noticing not only the slump in housing is resulting in a slump in also of housing prices as well, which have turned negative after rising for many years. Going back to the early 1990s, have continually risen until they fell this year. So it's going to be a long slow recovery. Those houses are going to stay on the market, and again, the way that motivated sellers are going to be able to sell those houses are to cut the price and at the same time increase the commission that they're going to pay to the realtor to move that property, either that or convert that property into rental property. Uh-huh. So it's not a particularly pretty pretty picture out there with the existing homes that have moved from a motivated seller to a foreclosure, and that's the bitterest pill of all.
So we're going to see inventories rise before they fall, then.
Very, very much so, Dave. Very, very much so. And, of course, that leads us into, well, construction must be way off, and there is no recession in the construction market. If we take a look at the commercial end of this, if we compare July of 2007 to July of 2006 in the hotel, motel, and lodging market, construction is up 58%.
Wow.
No recession there. For healthcare, it's up by 10%, and for the educational market, it's up 27%. So again, for the non-residential market, things are going extraordinarily well. And as I say, no recession in this industry.
And you see that maintaining?
Very definitely. Yes, very definitely. Because at that time, we're going to see business travel coming back. We're going to see more of that part of the economy coming back, particularly overseas. Markets, particularly in Asia, hospitality market or hotel, motel, large facility market, that's going to continue to grow quite nicely.
John, we need to break here. Break for some messages. John McDivitt's with us this morning. He is the former 3M corporate economist, been with us on this program since the beginning. We're going to pause now. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. John McDivitt's with us this morning, former 3M corporate economist. Crude oil, John. We've seen oil prices go up. I don't know. They're up somewhere north of 25% so far this year. We've seen them surpass $80 here in the last several days, up and down. What do you see going forward, and how's that going to affect the economy?
Well, that's why we go back to what the things I'm going to be watching most closely are the consumer spending and consumer income. Because now, as we get to this $80 threshold that we've had for the last 2 days, the price objectives of the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries was around the $50 area, and then it moved to the $60 per barrel. Then we just came off $70 a barrel, and now we're staring at $80 a barrel. It's interesting that in the Wall Street Journal survey economists, nobody saw, of all of the economic forecasters, nobody saw the price of oil exceeding $80 a barrel. Well, we've had it $80.10. On Thursday afternoon, so that what you have then is expectations that oil will be going higher, and it's all driven by global demand. And that's why I say in the lodging market, it's demand overseas that's fueling all of this. And that's one of the surprises I've seen in the pursuit of this international market. Why I'm surprised that the carpet and rug exports haven't risen more. Right now, carpet and rug exports are only $10 million higher than they were a year ago. In other words, year to date, they're about $594 million against $583 million in 2006. Well, one would say with this huge growth outside the United States that on average it's growing at least twice, 2.5 times as fast as the U.S., and with the weak dollar, that why we haven't been able to get more exports out of Dalton and other market carpet centers around the country, how we should have seen a bigger emphasis on that. But as I say, the price of crude is going to continue to rise, and again, it's driven by this global economy. It's driven by the demand for oil from the Chinas, from the Indias, from the Brazils. And of course, storms are not kind to prices. And of course, we're not even anyway through the hurricane season yet, so there'll be some more shocks to the system down the road.
Let me ask you about GDP, John. You had mentioned recession earlier. I guess GDP is the deciding factor there. What are your expectations going forward?
Well, as far as GDP, the rest of the year, probably something in the 2 to 2.25% range. And then next year, we're probably looking at still not quite getting back to trend. We'll be seeing something about 2.75% to 3% growth next year. Anything above 3% would be a return to trend. So we wouldn't see that until like 2009, 2010. And of course, if we take a look at GDP, we're looking at the sum of all the goods and all the services that are that's produced in our economy. So we should have a good but not great, no recession, just a year of slightly subpar performance. But everybody is doing a very, very good job. I'd say not only the wholesalers, but retailers are doing an extraordinary good job of controlling their inventory costs. Matter of fact, the wholesalers this year, they are carrying 1.1 months of inventory on hand for every month of sales. Last year, they had like about 1.13 months of inventory on hand for every 1 month of sales. So they're doing a very, very, very good job of controlling their costs by controlling inventories and by controlling their expenses. And again, I wouldn't, even if we did have a 1 quarter negative, I would not be worried about that, because inventory levels are as low as they are. Back in 1998, which wasn't that long ago, there used to be 1.3 months of inventory on hand for every one month of sales. That's been whittled down to 1.1 months of inventory. So there's less inventory costs. If there is shrinkage in the economy, you don't have that far to fall. So that I'm very optimistic on the economy, that we're doing a very good job of controlling inventory costs.
I see. And going into next year, and you had mentioned, John, that you're going to be watching consumer spending and income, and you're relatively favorable about those two areas in the next year.
Yes, I am. And as far as housing is concerned, next year, I'd be looking at the at housing starts at about 1.4 million. Now, if we go back and take a look of what we've been accustomed to seeing, and that's the average between 2002 to 2006, during that time frame, we were selling about 1.9 million units per year. So that's from 1.9, we've slipped down to 1.4, but it's still a positive number, still over a million. And for existing home sales, looking at something a little over 5 million, and if we want to put a decimal point to it, it'd be about 5.4 million. And again, if we go to the average existing home sales between 2002 to 2006, they averaged 6.4 million units per year. So we're down about a million units in 2008 versus what we had on our average. So again, good but not great, keeping our head above water and not drowning in that recession sea.
I've got you. John, a good place to leave it. Always a pleasure having you on the program, and I appreciate all the input.
Well, thank you very much, Dave, and thanks to Dalton for listening.
Well, it's our pleasure, and we'll talk to you in about a month.
Sounds good.
You got it, John. We've been talking with John McDivitt, former 3M corporate economist, and you're listening to Floor Radio.